since 1996, councils have been required to incorporate habitat elements into their fishery management plans. So basically, in a nutshell, essential fish habitat is the water and substrate necessary for fish to do everything that they do, breeding, spawning, feeding, and then growth. So the New England Council manages about 28, I think, species, ground fish, herring, skates, scallops, deep sea red crab. And so we're charged with designating EFH for all of those species. And so that includes where the larval and egg phases, where are the juveniles found, what depths do they prefer, what temperatures, where do you find the adults, what season do they spawn in. So those are sort of the elements of the EFH designation. So we talk about what are their preferences, and then we also map all that information so you can see sort of how these species are all distributed. So the other sort of major element of the Mangus and Stevens Act in terms of telling councils what they need to do for EFH is not just identify where it is, but also to minimize fishing impacts on that EFH. And we also look at, you know, where there may be non-fishing impacts occurring, but really because the councils are managing the fisheries, the main thing we're trying to do in terms of taking action in this amendment is identify ways to minimize the effects of fishing on EFH. And so previously to this large omnibus process, the council was really doing that on sort of an ad hoc, plan-by-plan basis, looking at, you know, ways to minimize effects within the groundfish plan or the scallop plan or the monkfish plan. I think that's maybe a stock I didn't mention earlier. And so around the time that some major management actions were being wrapped up, the council decided, you know, we should really take an integrated approach. Look at all of our designations, update them, look at all the measures that we're trying to take and try and be holistic across ear types, across FMPs, which I think probably sounded like a really great idea at the time. And, you know, it's taken us 10 years, so I'm not sure that going back in time, they would have still taken that comprehensive omnibus approach. Maybe we would have stuck with plan-by-plan updates. But in any case, here we are, so we're almost at the end, or as the Habitat Committee Chair would say, the denouement of finishing this large omnibus amendment. So the other elements of the amendment, as I'm sure you're all aware, there's a number of large year-round management areas on Georges Bank and in the Gulf of Maine. In the Gulf of Maine, you have the Western Gulf of Maine closure and the Cassius Ledge closure that have been closed since the late 90s, 2000 or so. And those areas overlap our EFH management areas. And you know, as other spatial management measures that affect where people can fish and with what gear types, there's sort of a lot of intersections between trying to update our EFH management and trying to think about those ground fish management areas. And so sort of midway through the process, the council said, well, we should just consider all of these areas in this action and try and update all of them. So it sort of got even more complicated. And the council added a couple of goals to really try and focus on enhancing productivity of ground fish. Which sounds really straightforward and great, but in practice, you know, we're talking about a number of species that occur in different areas or caught by different gears, have different seasonality to their movements and their habitat needs and requirements, and it gets pretty complicated pretty quickly. But sort of boiling that down a little bit, what we're really trying to get to was a couple of more sort of objectives that were a little bit easier to grapple with than just increasing productivity. So improving ground fish spawning protection, trying to target, say, seasonal management measures on the areas where ground fish, you know, seem to be spawning, you know, now. We do have, you know, some of these existing year-round closures, and there's some rolling closures that, you know, are sort of doing that in a way, but is the question was, well, can we improve upon that? And update that system of management areas to really focus best on spawning. And then also sort of improving protections of ground fish habitats. And the focus there really became juveniles, very small juveniles, especially those species that associate with vulnerable habitat types and with structure. So animals like cod or haddock, redfish, things like that. And then sort of there was this general thought with changing the system of closed areas around to think about, well, who can access these areas and how can we, you know, open up some areas to either all users or some types of users? Can the management sort of generally be more, you know, focused on habitat protection or spawning and provide some increased access? So the Magnuson Act language, and also there's regulations that sort of give more details on how to manage EFH, have this language about practicability, you know, managing, minimizing impacts to the extent practicable. And that's sort of really where the rubber meets the road. And the way I would define practicable is really thinking about comparing and the trade-off between the benefits you would get in terms of protecting habitat or protecting the resources themselves, the biological resources, versus what are the costs, the economic costs, the social costs. It would be great if we could sort of stick everything in a model and come out with some, you know, magic answer that this option is really practical. But that really sort of depends on, you know, not only valuing habitat benefits and resource benefits, but also sort of the lens through which you're looking at it, your own sort of framework, you know, which areas are important to you, which stocks, their conservation is really important to you, which fishery are you a part of, or fisheries, and where can you prosecute that, and how might you be restricted? So a lot of, you know, whether some of these options is practical is totally in the eye of the beholder. And so as we go forward, you know, through the rest of this year and the decisions this week, you know, what seems like, you know, a reasonable option to one group of stakeholders is often not a reasonable option to another group of stakeholders. So where the council's trying to get to in developing all this documentation and analyses is trying to understand, you know, across the board and what's something that's reasonable and practical for the greatest number of users. And so hopefully at the end, we arrive with a set of spatial management measures that, you know, mostly work for many people in terms of being practical. And, you know, to the extent that different exemptions or things could improve that, then the council's also looking at those kind of things. And, you know, ultimately this is sort of a qualitative discussion. Because it's pretty easy to think about economic benefits and costs and dollars. You know, we know where people are fishing now, more or less. We can sort of guess where people might fish if you opened closures, because we know somewhat what species are in there and what they might be worth. So, you know, so you can put sort of one side of the equation in dollars, but it's much harder to estimate, you know, long-term productivity increase type of benefits in dollars. So this is, you know, sort of the crux of the whole amendment and one of the most challenging.